This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Today, the DOJ is planning on suing Google, and classified documents have now been found at Mike Pence's home. We've got all of that and more coming up, and it all starts right now. Welcome to the News and Why It Matters. I am Sarah Gonzalez, and I am joined in this very chilly studio by Blaze TV contributor Yacoub Bouyanz, also host of The Bottom Line, also joined by Blaze TV contributor John Doyle, host of Heck Off Commie. And I would like to announce, I believe this is the very first time that John Doyle has been back since he has been brought back to Twitter.
That is true. That's literally the case. It's been, I think, about 2 weeks. I've been back on Twitter. I got myself in a little bit of trouble already.
I do not find that shocking.
Very unfine people, but yeah, I'm very excited to be back.
Comrade Doyle.
Yes.
So if you have not been following him, he is back. Elon actually took the duct tape off his mouth. He can now speak freely, at least for the time being. I don't know, as of the time of this taping, because with John, you know, something could happen very quickly. We've got a very quick turnaround with this show.
Yeah, That's true.
But as of the time of this taping, I never know what's going to happen.
I just don't know if John, do you want to be on Twitter or off Twitter?
I want to be on Twitter, Yacoub.
Okay, then don't try to get off.
I am the only one speaking truth to the establishment. When I complain about minorities on air,
the only one is a very, 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 very
the only one
broad statement. One of the only ones. This one speaks truth.
I try.
This one speaks truth.
But I'm a woman of color, so I don't think they're
going to... Oh, so you don't qualify.
Yeah, they're going to...
And I'm African-American.
So I don't... Exactly.
Okay, I see.
These are the rules.
Okay.
All right, so the Department of Justice is reportedly preparing to sue Google over their dominance in the digital advertising space. So the report says they are expected to file a lawsuit by the end of the week. And this is an antitrust suit. So... it's very bizarre to me, interesting to me, and I want to get y'all's take on it. But remember, this is the company, the parent company is Alphabet Inc. that owns Google, and they own a bunch of different things. But let's see, they hold the largest share of business in the U.S.'s $278.6 billion digital ad market, as well as the top slot in the $626.86 billion global digital ad market. And it's just fascinating to me because I'm not saying that the allegations are true or untrue. What I'm saying is Google has seemed to carry the water for the left for a very long time now. You know, there are reports that came out that they absolutely did influence and change the election in 2020. So, And by the way, just by mere, they decide what shows up and what doesn't when you're searching for particular political candidates, you know, when you're searching for the background information on these candidates, when you're searching what their platforms are, they are actually shaping your narrative. And certainly they're not doing conservatives any favors. So it's just fascinating to me that the government would put Google in their crosshairs for any reason, true or untrue. It just feels like, why do they pick this battle? And again, I'm coming at it from an angle of I don't trust the government for anything. And I don't specifically the DOJ or the FBI. I think it just stinks. Yes, there are good men. There are good people who work there within the ranks. I'm talking about the top. Mm-hmm. So it's just fascinating to me that they would even move to do this right now.
I remember when Trump was running, President Trump was running against Hillary Clinton, in Google, you would type in the word Hillary. That's all you type in. And Hillary Clinton, it would auto-populate. Hillary Clinton, Google can give you a selection to auto-populate. And then it would show you all the polling places in your region. And then you would go and you would type the word Donald J. Trump, and there would be nothing. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't auto-populate. Of course, Google has played a part in this. When I saw this story break, here's what I thought immediately. Uh-oh, someone inside Google had enough, and they're not playing ball anymore. And this is you're gonna turn on us?
Mm-hmm.
We're coming for you.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna weaponize the DOJ against you. That I firmly believe, until proven wrong, that's what happened here. And it's got something to do with inflation. It's got something to do with pressure. It's got something to do with economics
mm-hmm.
and the market and shifts. And maybe somebody in Google's like, well, hey, listen, we're gonna take a bit of a hiatus. And you know, maybe we're gonna step aside for a season. And like, oh no, you're not. No. You are our agency.
Right.
You speak for us. You filter for us.
Yeah.
Is what I feel, Sarah.
Well, because add to this, the FEC complaint that was filed by the Republican National Committee, when was it? In April of last year, that they said that, which I 110% believe that Google was suppressing their emails, right? They were categorizing it as spam, so it was going to everyone's spam filter, so no one was seeing the emails that the RNC was sending. But it's like, well, when the DOJ hops on the bandwagon of saying, mm-hmm. hey, Google is biased, and the RNC were the ones who were
right.
like, they're biased against us, you're like, hold on a second.
We're siding together now?
Yeah, you guys never side with the RNC on anything, so I don't trust this for a second.
Yeah, it is tough to kind of infer a motivation. If I had to put on my tinfoil hat, I would guess it would maybe be something like them trying to be ahead of the curve for what they see right around the corner, which is a Republican base and therefore a Republican party that is increasingly comfortable with talking about waging war on big tech.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been for so long disenfranchised by these platforms. The average Republican voter wants like blood. Like they want to see the antitrust legislation against Google. And so if I were kind of seeing the way that the country is going, I mean, even recent polling showing like Biden versus Trump, Trump's up like 7 or 8 points or something, I would probably do something like this to try to say, break up Google, knowing that if we could have, you know, smaller subsidiaries or divisions that are still overwhelmingly biased towards left-leaning ideas, well, then it's like, what are Republicans going to do? Are they really going to suggest that we're supposed to censor speech based on political affiliation? Their voters probably wouldn't go for that. So it allows them to basically do away with this big villain of Google and be like, well, now you've got all these other companies doing, and, you know, it's not our fault that they all just so happen to be very far left. This is just the free market at work, right? And I think it would take Republicans a few more years, actually, to kind of take that and then find out what to do with it from there. Meanwhile, we're still getting censored. We're still getting deplatformed unless Elon Musk comes through and, I don't know, buys Google, buys the Washington Post or something.
Okay, I love that you brought that up because the Washington Post, so Jeff Bezos is, he's done with the Washington Post. He wants to buy an NFL team instead?
The Redskins, yeah. Or excuse me, the Commanders.
What? I cannot believe you just committitted hate speech on my show.
Wait, how did I do that?
You actually said that the old Washington
now he's
gonna football
kicked off,
name.
Kicked off the
Would
place.
You like me to more accurately describe their behavior? I can do that. But you know what's funny is I've noticed like a very, and this is like the nature of men, I don't want to use the phrase, but we'll call it like maybe a peeing contest between Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos with like certain statements that Bezos has been making trying to like appeal to this sort of like right-wing coalition that wants to hype him up. What if Jeff Bezos bought the Washington Commanders and simply renamed it to the Washington Redskins, trying to like become like the next guy like Elon Musk
is? Hey, I tell you, a lot of people will support that, especially the Native Americans. It may be a little bit of back to the, I've got so much to say about Bezos and Musk, but back to this conversation, it may be a little bit of reverse psychology. You know, mob bosses used to do this in the past. That it would go in and break the hand of their best guy in front of the other guys.
Mm.
And the guys would go, what did he do wrong? Nothing. I'm just reminding you who carries the stick. And so maybe Google did nothing. They're just saying, hey, there's an election coming. I'm just going to remind you.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to remind you who you answer to. So we're going to investigate you publicly so that you don't break rank when the red phone, you know, is used and say, suppress some emails again, please.
Right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, DOJ.
And if you do, this all goes away.
Exactly.
It makes a lot of sense, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the mob bosses use that tactic often. So just thinking.
Well, by the way, so going back to the Washington Post story. So allegedly, Jeff Bezos is denying that that's the case. However, they, I mean, the Washington Post is not doing well.
No.
They, I believe the latest report that I read said that they had lost 500,000 subscribers. They have layoffs that are coming. They've just started layoffs following his latest newsroom visit. So it's not, I guess, when you peddle in fiction and political narratives, apparently it doesn't pay off, which is, I'm not going to lie, really nice to see. Couldn't have happened to a more deserving group of people.
May also be a way for Washington to never win a Super Bowl again. Let's let Bezos buy them. Because they'll come out on tutus, rainbow color tutus.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't tackle them.
What?
I'm just imagining a scenario where that happens, and then you've got the, like, so humiliated and deracinated, like, Indian warrior culture who's like, I've had enough of this. And they have, like, one last stand, and they just go, like, slaughter all of the football team people, like, all these, like,
this
effeminate.
This just took a really dark turn.
But that'd be, like, cool, right?
I was
like,
going to do the rainbows. And you
like, you got, like, all these Indians storming the field. They're like, scalping all these people.
Get the show back on track.
Moving right along. So an attorney for former Vice President Mike Pence apparently found about a dozen documents marked classified at Mike Pence's home in Indiana. They have turned over the documents to the FBI. And this is the story that we've received, okay? I'm just gonna tell you what Mike Pence's team said. They said that Mike Pence directed his team to search his home and his office at his political advocacy group following revelations that classified documents had been discovered in Biden's office and at his home. They said no classified papers turned up at his office, but he did have the classified documents at his home. Now, very fascinating to me because, you know, I tweeted this earlier. I said, you know, what is going on? Like, what is going on? And people were like, well, politicians don't follow the rules. And I'm like, got that part of it. That's not my question.
Yeah.
I always have known that.
Yeah.
I'm sure they all have all sorts of documents that none of them are supposed to have. My issue is I don't trust why all of a sudden all of these politicians are doing what voluntary, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to go through every single document that I've ever owned, and I'm just going to double check, triple check, quadruple check to make sure that I don't have any documents that I'm not supposed to have. And then you have their lawyers comb through them. And then when they find them, they self-report. Like, does that sound like politicians as you know them to be?
No, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think Mike Pence is the only one that's really self-reporting. Biden didn't self-report. Trump was corroborating.
Well, Biden did self-report.
Okay.
I mean, his aides did,
his
right?
His aides did, but I don't
why
know.
Why were his aides in his office going through all of his documents looking? What were they looking for?
Yeah, probably that. But I don't know so much as, and I'm talking about man to man. I don't know if Biden is the one that initiated that. But
well,
his
you're
aides,
right.
For sure. I would believe that Mike Pence... Well, you never know. You know, it could be a disgruntled employee or some people go, you know. This is the thing about skeletons in the closet. It's never just you that knows that it's there. They've known for a long time. And if you really want to break this down, who else aided and abetted? But I'm with you. It's a bizarre scenario that's going on at the moment. And you would think that they try to get ahead of it and circumvent legal ramification. But still, I will say this, it's still the only one that's truly clear in this is a former president who had the right to declassify documents
and who
corroborated.
Right, right.
All the others now, all of a sudden, they've broken the law.
Well, that's why I'm saying, like, is there talk of, like, the FBI is going to come raid every former president and vice president? That it's like, why would Mike Pence think that he needed to do this right now?
Because it gives permission for the masses to point at Trump as like exclusively and exceptionally bad, because Mike Pence, a principled conservative, realized that he has these documents, so he's going to present them. I'm up to no good, or excuse me, I'm not up to no. Maybe he is. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But like, I'll let you look at him. It's fine. And then people go, oh well, Trump was the one hiding him. We had to know about this and then raid. So it allows people to view, okay, he has documents. Well, at least he was straightforward about it. He wasn't really up to anything bad. Joe Biden had documents, but they came forward. His aides did, his team did, or whatever. But Donald Trump, he was hiding these documents, and he was up to no good. And therefore, we should indict him and prevent him from running for president again.
Even though, again, Trump would be the only one who would have some sort of an excuse, which is I'm president. Mm-hmm. I can almost guarantee you if Trump were asked about this, he would make very clear he did not declassify the documents that Mike Pence had.
It would be a different story than between Obama and Biden playing off right now.
Yeah, I would imagine.
No doubt. But it makes you think, though, how successful was that raid on Trump, though? Mm. It almost feels like the Republicans are on their heels. Okay, I'm going to go through and offer it up because I don't want to get swatted, you know, Pence. If he truly, it's bizarre, though. It's weird.
Well, it is. And again, because I trust none of them, I'm looking at this and because I agree with you, I feel like it's to prove a point. But I went a different way, John, and I wondered, is he, because I mean, look, Pence is, I wouldn't call him ultra conservative, right? I think he's very establishment, kind of part of the problem. I was like, maybe this was just all a ploy to make Joe's look less serious, right? Like, oh, come on, a bunch of vice presidents have these documents. It's not a big deal. Don't worry about it. You know, just trying to make it seem more normal and normalize them having all of these documents, which actually I do think it's normal. So,
yeah. Are we going to see the Clinton campaign come out now retroactively? And are we going back to Bush and Bush and... Well, how far back are we going to go? Because
Clinton got rid of her documents a long time ago.
Well, she got rid of hers, but her husband. Yeah. Maybe she got rid of her husband's too. She got rid of all these lovers.
They threw all those out to make room for the furniture that they stole and the paintings. Oh. You remember that? Isn't that a thing that happened? They like stole a bunch of stuff from the White House and they moved out.
Oh, I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look, I can go a whole nother way. We can talk Haitian children, all kinds of things that were stolen.
Oh, boy. All right. We got to take a quick break. First, we want to thank our sponsor, Birch Gold. So obviously things are not what you would call great in this country right now when it comes to, you know, taxing and spending, the administration turning a blind eye to inflation, kind of puts all of that at odds with your goals of securing your savings. So look, when you are finally tired of that and you really want to put your money where you can, historically speaking, you can know that it will be safe and secure, you need to diversify into gold with Birch Gold. I would not say this to you guys if I was not actually taking this sort of feedback and doing it in my own life, right? We have just diversified a lot of our retirement money, money that we have saved and earned, and we have put it in a tax-sheltered retirement account, which, by the way, Birch Gold makes it very, very easy to convert any existing IRA or 401k into a precious metals IRA. Here's what you need to do. It's very, very easy. You just text the word Y, W-H-Y, to 989898. It's not going to cost you anything. You're not going to pay anything. They're going to send you a free information kit on gold, and they're going to explain to you why gold and silver have historically been the most secure thing to diversify in. So you got to protect yourself by texting the word Y, that's W-H-Y, to 989898. So an FDA committee is set to meet this week regarding COVID-19 vaccinations and recommendations for the future. This is tomorrow, this is scheduled for, and it is the Vaccines and Related Biological Products Advisory Committee meeting. They are hoping that they will, this is what they're going to talk about, okay? They want to make the schedule, the immunization schedule, easier by giving specific types of children, immunocompromised people, and older people two shots, but only one to other people. It also, of course, wants the panel to think about making a system for vaccination recommendations akin to the way the flu shot is handled every year. So you will get your annual COVID-19 shot. It did say in this document explaining what they are planning to talk about that the rollout has been associated with significant implementation complexities. And because of this and other available information, a move to a single vaccine composition for primary and booster vaccinations should be considered. They say that young people, I just want you to hear me correctly, young people who may not have been exposed to COVID-19, as well as older people and those with compromised immune systems might need to get two. So yes, you heard me correctly. Young people who are the least at risk for any sort of adverse reaction or negative outcome for this particular virus, they don't want them to get one. They want them to get two shots now to, you know, protect them.
You would think And I hope I don't get us in trouble here, but I mean,
say it.
Frankly, my dear, you would think in a time where we are now heavily looking into vaccine injury, you may want to halt the program for kids just for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Till we get some information. You would think that's sanity. That makes sense, right? That shows you how little they actually care. As this, I mean, there's quite an outcry by public saying, people are dropping over. 18-year-olds are having heart attacks. Could it potentially be related to vaccine injury? You would, common sense and actually just human dignity for a CEO of Pfizer would say, hey, that kids program we're running, where we want to double vaccine, let's hold that one for a minute until we make sure that we're not going to harm children. They don't give a rip. They double down. Two vaccines for those, thank you. Mm. Double shot order.
I remember even the like caricature in my head of what was going to happen. When it began to play out in front of me, it was actually kind of shocking to see. I mean, you're seeing like several articles a day of celebrities, athletes, children, just all of a sudden just dropping. And nobody wants to really have that conversation. And when you try to, they like literally are more offended at the idea that you're like some anti-science person than at the idea that this could possibly be linked to that thing that they've spent the last several years shilling. So it really is a dehumanizing experience all around, not only because of how we're being treated like cattle, but also because our fellow cattle are so blind to what's actually going on.
Because they took the vax, John.
It's true, they want to be
they
right.
They don't want to wake up right in the morning and go, okay, wait a minute. Should I potentially consider that I could be harmed by this? Mm-hmm. They don't want, it's out of sight, out of mind. See no evil, hear no evil. Nope, not talking about it. No accountability over here. You took the vax, that's your choice. I mean, I never told someone to take it or not take mm-hmm. it, okay? Sis said, you come to me, I got some lead. Okay, and put some holes in you, right? But now that we're seeing that, hey, maybe, that's why they don't want to talk about it, because they were part of the program. It stings a little.
Yeah, oh, 100%. It would just be very fascinating to see how they move forward. And when I say they, I mean two different subsets here. I mean the government, obviously, the FDA, how are they going to push it? But also how the American people are going to react to it, because there's been, 15.3%, that's it, of all of the entire United States population who have gotten this second booster dose? 15.3%. So who is going, I mean, it sounds a whole lot like for all the people who won't admit, right, they won't admit that they may perhaps rushed to go get something that may not have been good for them, that may not have actually even helped them. They're not going back to get further ones. So they clearly know deep down
they've
that
learned.
Something is maybe we don't know if something is wrong.
Yes.
So let me just wait, because as it turns out, at the same time that I'm finding out that this particular virus is not as dangerous and deadly as I thought, I'm also finding out that this particular injection may actually be way more dangerous and deadly than I thought. I'm not going to go get the additional one. So it really is fascinating to me, because I completely agree with you that they don't want to admit to themselves that they have, that they could, I'm not calling them dumb, but I'm saying I would think in your head, you go, how could I have been so dumb? How could I have been so stupid? How could I have, why did I trust
Deceived.
Them? Why did I, right. And you want to blame yourself. So it's like, I agree. I think that they understand that they didn't do the right thing. They won't tell you that, though. And this is further evidence that they know that there's something very wrong here, or at least it looks to be
that way.
They're
not going to do it again, is what you're
saying.
Right. Yeah.
It's interesting, too, because I think it's common sense to want to evaluate something before you inject it into your body. Mm-hmm. And because that's common sense, a lot of people who are actually very intelligent viewed that opinion to be like low class, just because, you know, you've got, uneducated people, lower class people thinking that way just because it's common sense. And so there were a lot of people who ended up actually going through with it who now have the integrity, of course, to come out and say, I shouldn't have done that. But it's incredible to think, like, frankly, Jordan Peterson actually believed that getting it would get these people to stop. And now he's, you know, to his credit, come out and said that was ridiculous. I don't know why I thought that. But it's just like crazy that this guy would actually think that. I mean, he's so smart. How did he not see it on this one issue?
There's a lot of voices, John, as you know. Look, I can speak freely to you. I truly do. This is why, for me, the Word of God has to be my rudder, and there has to be some plumb line in your life that you can balance things off of. When you just have a myriad of voices speaking, then it's about pick your champion. And if predominantly everybody goes, well, Fauci is my champion, then it's just hurt. It's just hurt groupthink. And I think we saw a two-year period where people just stopped thinking. They just kind of jumped in the lazy river and floated for a minute. And now, to your point, they go, been there, done that. Maybe don't do that again this time around. And definitely, hopefully, not with your children.
Please.
Right.
Yeah. All right. We've got to take another quick break. We'll be back with more of what we want to thank our sponsor, Keeps. So if you are one of, you know, a lot of men this happens to, it's you can't blame yourself. It's just in your DNA that maybe you're noticing a little bit more hair loss than you would like to notice in the mirror when you look there. Listen, you can save your hair with Keeps. They have the same clinically proven, FDA-approved hair loss treatments available online. So here's the deal. Not only are you going to be able to do it from the comfort of your own home, you take a couple pictures, you send it in, and they ship everything directly to you, you're not going to have to wait in, you know, waiting rooms, pharmacies, go wait for your doctor, which oftentimes they're running super late. You don't have to deal with all that. But also, Keeps is generic. They have all of the generic formulas, so they're going to save you a ton of money. On top of the money that they are already saving you, I'm going to save you some money. If you go to keeps.com/Y, you're going to get a special offer. If you go to keeps.com/Y, keeps.com/Y.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
So the identities of several perpetrators in connection with the anti-police riots in Atlanta over the weekend that we covered yesterday have been revealed. And look, we heard this from the police chief when they gave their press conference. He said most of these people were not even from here. They came in from other places. And he was not wrong. Many of them are wealthy activists who came to Atlanta from other states, completely different states. So this is Frances Carroll, 22, Emily Murphy, 37. They are both from Maine, I believe. Ivan Ferguson of Nevada. There was someone from Tennessee. There was someone from Washington State. And only one of the suspects, Graham Evett, was a Georgia resident, and apparently all come from very wealthy families where I guess their parents are like, yeah, sure, honey, we'll pay for your iPhones. We'll pay for all, you know, this cush life. We'll pay for your plane ticket. We'll buy your food while you're out at those restaurants. You're going to go role play with your little friends where you all dress in black. And it's just so cute whenever you do that and you burn down buildings. Oh, by the way, they're all white. So there's that. Yeah, this was them over the weekend, some of the footage. Because, you know, trying to, pop explosives in the middle of the street, trying to break into a bank, as if that would be a good idea. These are really, really, really good people. Well, there's another suspect over there in Atlanta, an Antifa suspect, who apparently is the daughter of a global diversity expert who worked at CNN, which is not shocking at all. This is the middle one, and this is one of seven activists who were arrested at this the Future Public Safety Training Center. And you guys will be shocked to hear this is a mental health consultant. So you know what? I could go off on a whole long tangent about the people who are actually in the mental health industry are just... Yeah. We are not checking these people enough to make sure that they themselves are not the crazy ones. And it turns out at least this one is. Are you shocked, Yaku? Or are you shocked to hear?
Unfortunately, it rings true. Every shrink needs a shrink, right? Or you ask Jeff Younger, his former ex-wife, who is a child therapist, you know, promoting gender mutilation and on their own son, etc. So, no, I'm not shocked, but... Look, we have bred a true group of deplorables, the true group, through BLM, Antifa, the riots. We've told these people it's their right. They can burn buildings down. And they didn't just go away. They're still there. Mm. That mindset's still alive. They didn't just poof, disappear. We activated them, and now I believe they lay dormant. And you're going to see this kind of stuff happen. I really think so. Wait, 2024.
Yeah, yeah. So this activist whose mother is that global diversity expert, also interned at CNN and Reuters too. But yeah, that's not
birds of a feather.
Yes,
you
exactly.
You ever notice how they all kind of like look the same? Like there's always a look to these Antifa types. They always kind of have the hair and they're dead inside. They look.
You mean that demonic?
They look,
crazy.
Yeah, they look androgynous. They look dysgenic. They look like their hormones are ill balanced. And you know there is something to be said about that. Like I think testosterone's down 40% or something in the last 40 years in this country. And as a young man, like you don't develop properly physiologically, mentally, if your hormones are imbalanced. And I'm imagining the same can be said for young women. And you see these people, and you can like see that reflected on the way their faces look. Like they just don't look like a trusting person. They always kind of have this weird sort of look about them. And I think that my generation is, I think, probably the most like dysgenic. I mean, like, we're all very overweight. We're all very like mentally and spiritually ill. We have short attention spans. Like, there are very few, I think we're called Zoomers, who actually could function in like normal society if they were plopped into like the 1980s or something like that. So if there's a way forward, we're going to have to address that. I think that the Gen Xers and the Millennials are going to have to handpick whichever Zoomers are not completely just done for and kind of curate them to be able to carry whatever torch is left.
Yeah, so like, what do you think the cause of that is?
The Zoomer generation is being so, well, you know.
Is it social media? Is it the SSRI, right?
It's numerous factors.
I think that this country began eating things that were very poisonous in sometime during the latter half of the 20th century. We'll say like the early 1990s. And then all of a sudden you see everyone starts getting really fat. This whole like mental health culture starts. People are complaining. The prescription drug rates come. So it's like, you know, big pharma, big agriculture. It's all these different things. But people are basically just unhealthy. And my generation is the first generation that doesn't have a taste of the old America. We were just plopped right into this. And we were eating this stuff as we're growing up. We're experiencing this very just like depraved, immoral culture, and I think it's taken a toll on our spiritual health. And so now we're just like lashing out at existence for existence sake. And you're seeing these people who are going into Atlanta, which at one point was like a wonderful city, and they're almost like angry and picking at the bones of it because they see what could be a great city, and they're angry that it has failed them and they don't get to experience the life that their parents or grandparents did, which I don't think they're thinking about on a conscious level. But I think there is something subconsciously where they see the potential of this country and they see the decline and they're angry and they're restless and they just want to destroy because they probably don't have the fortitude or the discipline or the attention span to actually try to be disciplined and create something.
But you see this in Central Africa, John. It's a mentality. There's a great scene in Batman where they talk about some people just want to see the world burn.
Yes.
Right? And you get to that point when you disfranchise people intentionally. Look, we know for a fact water has been laced with fluoride. The whole fluoride movement in this country, fluoride's good for you, was a complete scam. Toothpaste, the whole deal. So it's food supply. You have to look at the physical and the spiritual aspect. You remove God out of schools, out of people's lives. You make them demigods, their own deities. You make them all little, you know, disciples of some social movement. And then you corrupt them in their food supply. We have got the worst food distribution network on planet Earth in this country.
I think our food is like illegal in like 20 countries.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, correct.
100%.
Yes. And again, who controls that? The FDA.
Yeah. So it's by design that they've created these little mini demigod disciples who really are brain dead. The show The Walking Dead is actually quite accurate. That show is alive today. I mean, they may not quite be zombies yet, but heck, they behave like
it. They do look like, put that mugshot, the mugshot compilation up on the screen again. Okay, other than Ivan Ferguson, who apparently is very happy that he has gotten arrested.
But Ivan still looks like there's some meth in his life at some point.
There it is.
Yeah.
People don't realize that too. Like, there are so many commercials advertising solutions that are always like pills for
everything.
You don't have proper energy throughout the day. You have trouble sleeping. You feel anxious. You feel groggy, tired. That's not supposed to happen. Like, your body is an amazing machine. It was designed intelligently. There's something wrong with what you're putting into it if these are the results that you're getting.
And you are what
you eat. It's not going to be fixed by some pill or something.
Yeah. And we've made sure we eat crap.
Well, and, you know, that also goes to, I know I won't get too long on this because I could go for the rest of the show on this, but goes to the, you know, ADHD epidemic in young boys. Like, you're feeding them processed. Right, you're feeding them processed junk and then sending them to school where you're telling them they have to sit still for 8 hours.
Living
what do you think
sugar.
Is going to happen? Right, what do you think is going to, but to fix it, you're going to medicate them with, you know, God knows what, instead of just changing their diet and changing the way that they learn and you educate them. Again, I could go off on this the rest of the show, but I won't because we have more news to cover, and we will do that when we come back.
Not only the news, but why
it matters.
Thank you.
No one else does
thank
that.
You. Thank you.
That tag.
Come on.
You gotta say that.
Have you guys been following this this story about the former top FBI agent who was involved in the Trump-Russia probe, who was apparently arrested over the weekend for alleged activities with a Russian oligarch? Have you?
A little bit.
Okay. So this is the Southern District of New York. They unsealed a 5-count indictment against Charles McGonigal. He's the former special agent in charge of the New York FBI Counterintelligence Division. And Sergei Shestakov on Monday. So they were charged with allegedly violating and conspiring to violate the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, and with conspiring to commit money laundering and with money laundering. And Shestakov was also charged for allegedly lying to the FBI. McGonigal, he retired in 2018, but he supervised and participated in investigations of Russian oligarchs and during his time at the FBI. He was, the Washington Free Beacon reported this, he was involved with the FBI's investigation into the Trump campaign's links to Russia. Now, it was fascinating to me because I saw two different places that people took this. The left, of course, took this and said, this guy was in on it the whole time, and he didn't find Trump guilty of anything because he was covering for the Russians and for Trump because he was in on it, which is, I think, ridiculous. And then there was another line of thinking, which was, wow, the people who were, you know, accusing Trump of God knows what were the ones who were doing it the whole time, which is typically the case, because that's what the left does, is just project all of the dirty laundry that they're doing and accuse the other side of doing it.
Of the two scenarios, and I haven't done a deep dive into this, but at a surface level, I came to that conclusion, your scenario B, that yes, foxes were in the hen house the whole time.
Right.
He was compromised, he being the president of the United States, throughout. Had to literally have eyes in the back of his head constantly. And when he told you, the president told you, I cannot trust the FBI, very likely he had intel on characters like this character to go, things are not well within my camp because they've been doing it. And of course, then you're going to blame, you know, the guy at the top.
Right.
Point all fingers to him, divert attention from yourself. That was my conclusion. Who knows? But, I mean, this kind of stuff has been happening forever, since the inception of the FBI, though. You've always had members break rank, double agents, selling information both ways, intentionally, non-intentionally. I mean, it's just kind of par for the course. I think it's just now in the age of seeing everything, hearing everything with media. In the past, people didn't discuss these things because it was on page 7, you know, of the newspaper, and people didn't really know.
Yeah.
What was this guy's name?
Which one? The United States citizen?
Yeah, like Sir...
Charles McGonigal.
Sergei
Shestakov is the Russian.
The Russian.
Sergei Shestakov?
Sergei.
I don't know how to say this.
Sergei. So he was working within the FBI.
He was working with.
With, yeah. So he was working in conjunction with this retired FBI agent named Charles McGonigal.
Oh, okay. I thought this, like, Sergei guy was the guy who was in America working with the FBI. And I was like, you're telling me this, like, Sergei Shestakov doesn't have full loyalty to America? What? That's, like, crazy.
Guys, you would not believe it. We actually, here at The News and Why It Matters, our panelists find out the news at the same time you do.
I'm not very intelligent.
So that's great.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, I mean, hey.
That would have been a good spy novel drama, John, but
if
that
only
wasn't
we sent you the topics ahead of time so you could have. Well, we'll have a conversation afterwards.
I'm too busy putting M&Ms in the car.
Okay, I do want to get to one other story. It's kind of a not a light note, but important to talk about. The surge, apparently, of fentanyl-related deaths in Seattle has risen so high that there is a county, King County, they're running out of room to actually store the dead bodies because the morgue is full.
Yeah, same on the border. I just came back from the border 2 days ago. Our morgues are full. There's mass grave sites on our border. But you have to remember now, Gavin Newsom, cleaning the streets of Los Angeles, are shipping his homeless and his meth addicts and his druggies where? Seattle and Portland. And it's been going on for over a year. So at some point, the levee's going to break. At some point, they're going to go, wait a minute, our system is stressed to the max. We don't have, the morgue doesn't have space. The ER doesn't have space. It was always going to happen. Always going to happen. And these cities are paying the price for electing their liberal buddies by saying, come over here, put a needle in your arm. Que sera, sera. You can do whatever you want in Portland. You can do whatever you want in Seattle. And oh, by the way, ship us your broken people versus taking care of them. So this was always going to happen. And that's what's happening on our southern border. 100%.
Yeah, I think that one of the better positions that Trump has articulated recently is he's calling now openly for the execution of drug dealers, which I think that it is true that you should treat drug addiction as an illness, but I think that profiting off that illness is definitely something where you should just be killed for, frankly. And I'm sure you guys have seen this on Twitter the last 24 hours or so. There's been this video going around of like an airport or something in Singapore, I think. And there's like these fountains and this beautiful glass dome. And there's like this little trolley going through. And everyone's like, wow, this society looks so advanced. And it's like, well, because they know what it takes to build a civilization. They execute drug dealers. They're very tough on crime. They don't tolerate petty theft. They don't care about stopping and frisking. Like, they're willing to do what is necessary to have cool things.
Have you been to Singapore?
No.
Okay, I've been twice. Do you know you're not allowed to chew gum in Singapore?
I didn't know that.
They do go to an extreme where your personal liberties are violated. But you chew gum in Singapore, you're arrested. If you park at a red light for longer than a certain time, you've got to cut your car off for the emissions. I mean, so it does go, they will execute people. So they've crossed over the balance of what we would tolerate as Americans. But yes, clean, amazing tech city. It's stunning. But I don't chew gum. But if I want to chew gum, the government's not going to tell me not to chew gum.
Right.
So they go a little far. But yes, I agree with your point. They run a pretty tight civilization on crime.
We'll tone it down 10-15%. We'll let you
allow
chew
the gum.
When John Doyle is, I was going to say elected leader, but you're looking for more of a dictatorship.
Why would I want to deal with like the democratic process? That's such a headache.
Well, to be fair, the Democrats don't like to deal with it either. They're
Don't
constantly
talk about
trying
a coup,
to find
a takeover,
ways. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I got it. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be back.
Yeah, it's a stunning city. Singapore is amazing, but it's the people are complete.
M&M's, this is of course owned by Mars, announced earlier this week that it was taking an indefinite pause from using its spokes candies in advertisements following criticisms from some in the media. Now, they didn't mention the latest, which we covered on the show, where they were like, we're flipping womanhood upside down or something stupid, and all of the candies were upside down, and it was only some select candies, which I guess were supposed to be like the females and also the identifying females. I don't really know. It didn't make much sense. But in the statement that they released, they mentioned something about their shoes, because apparently a while back, the green, I don't know why I'm telling you the story like with a serious look on my face about freaking candies, cartoon candies, but I'll finish. The green M&M used to wear go-go boots, but they changed the green M&M's boots into white sneakers to be more inclusive. And basically all of that to sum up, that apparently M&M is finding out go woke, go broke. So now they've just decided that they need a spokesperson. So they've hired Maya Rudolph to be their spokesperson. I feel like you could have just kept the dumb cartoon candies. Just like don't push them with an agenda and everything would have been fine. But no, instead they're deciding to just scrap the entire thing.
Between having obese children and poisoning people with food,
yep,
and over 70% of America having candida, look into that. I don't know. I've never done this, but maybe this is what I think of M&Ms.
Well, there they go. There they go. This is super toxic, guys. Turn the bag over and look at the ingredients. It is disgusting. Stop putting it in your bodies. John's really excited about the M&Ms in his cup.
Yeah, I just like, who's gonna clean that up?
Me. I clean up. I was raised right. I would not do it if I'm not gonna
be like
clean
on his Doyle. Hands and knees.
You know, the crew
up.
Is like,
I'm not Gen.
No.
I'm not Gen Z or Millennial crew. I promise you, I will clean it up.
Spiritually Antifa just wreaking havoc throughout the.
Thank you guys for being here, and thank you guys. We will see you tomorrow.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.